I said, hallelujah. Went into camp meeting. Camp meeting is around the corner. We began camp meeting in 2002 as Carrie's Camp Meeting. And the reason why it's called Carrie's Camp Meeting is because we're looking at the freely given things of God's Spirit. The word carries means freely given. So that's why we call it Carrie's Camp Meeting. Freely given. Where the things of God that are freely given to us, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, say we have received not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So Carrie's Camp Meeting is a special meeting. You know, there are different kinds of meetings. I said that earlier on today. We have prayer meetings where we just come to pray. We have teaching meetings where we come to study, right? We have outreach meetings where, just like we're doing this week, where we take the gospel to people and we just share the word of God with them. And it's still a meeting because it's two or three in his name. We have healing meetings where we just have the sick come and receive healing, just like Luke 5:17. And also several instances, like Luke 6, I believe, verse 12 and 13, where people came to Jesus to touch him and be healed. And we also have what you can call workers' meeting, a special kind of meeting, where people who have responsibility are called aside. Jesus did that to the 12 and to his disciples. And also in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 20, verse 17, Paul called the elders of the church of Ephesus and he spoke to them differently. So we have such workers' meetings, we have a ministers' meeting. Then we also have another kind of meeting. It's called the believers' meetings or Holy Ghost meetings. Now, there are Holy Ghost meetings, and I defined it in the first service, as a meeting we plan so that we will yield to the Holy Ghost to see what we did not plan. I'll take it again. A meeting we plan so that we'll yield to the Holy Ghost and then we experience the things that we did not plan. That is, the things that will happen will be because we turn the meeting over to the Spirit of God. That is the inspiration of the moment. Now, I did describe in the first service that the day of Pentecost was a kind of meeting like that. They planned it. Jesus told them to wait. Luke 24:49. Acts 1:8. He told them where to wait. The day of Pentecost was fully calm. They all came there. That means that they knew it was that day and everybody showed up at the same time. And I think I told you about punctuality, right? If you are late for a meeting, you can miss out on what God is doing. So they showed up at the same time. And then I also mentioned in the first, as I said last week too, that they obviously were praying. They prayed. Because Acts 2:42 says they continued in prayer. Acts 1:14 says they were together in one accord and they prayed. So they prayed. But you see, whilst they deliberately chose the day, deliberately acted on certain things that they were instructed of to do, they did not orchestrate what happened afterwards. They didn't plan it. Acts 2:1 says when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. That's what they planned. One place, one accord. March 28, it's a Thursday, at the Four Square Gospel Church Campgrounds. So we planned that one. They were all in one place, in one accord. We show up at the session at the right time, in the right place, in one accord. But verse 2 is not what they planned. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. The sound didn't come from the music, the musical equipments. The sound did not come from the speakers. The sound came from heaven, verse 2, as of a rushing, like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. That was not planned. That's yielding the meeting over to the Holy Ghost. Verse 3 now says, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it filled the house. Sat upon each of them, sorry. So that was also not planned. They planned to yield to the Holy Ghost. They planned to turn the meeting to the Holy Ghost, but they did not plan what will happen afterwards. Verse 4 now says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So a Holy Ghost meeting is a meeting that we turn over to the Holy Ghost. Now, let me say this very quickly. You see, a Christian life must not be devoid of experiences. Now, pause before you write. Let me say something to you. You know, man is a spiritual being. I'll take it again. Man is a spiritual being. You are a spiritual being. That means you have a supernatural side to you. Now, that supernatural side to you has the capacity to do certain things that you are doing in the natural. For example, you can see. The same way you can see in the natural, you can see supernaturally. Seeing supernaturally will mean that you will see things beyond the physical world. You can hear supernaturally. You can hear supernaturally. You can, listen carefully, you can speak supernaturally. You can speak supernaturally. You can also feel supernaturally. You can sense something supernaturally. Now, pause and watch this. On the day of Pentecost, you know, there were people there. Let me explain the day of Pentecost for you. Because sometimes some of us wonder, somebody was saying something about a Holy Ghost meeting and said, how come the person behind the camera was still standing and every other person was on the floor? He said, how come the ushers, you know, people say stuff like that. But no, wait. The day of Pentecost, people assume it happened in the upper room. No. It happened in Solomon's porch. It was in the open place. So if you know the temple like that, it's divided into different kind of compartments. So they found a place and people were around them. So when they were around them, they were seeing them. Now let me ask you a question. The crowd outside the 120, did they hear the sounds? Did they hear the sound from heaven? Let me take it again. Did they hear the sound from heaven? No. Did they see the cloven tongues as of fire? The only thing they commented on was what they said. So which means a sound can come in me right now and some people will not hear it. They appeared unto them, not to everybody. Cloven tongues like as of fire and it sat upon each of them. Now, the crowd that mocked them, did they see it? If they saw it, they wouldn't have mocked them. If they heard it, they wouldn't have mocked them. So you can be in a place and you don't know what's going on. I remember years ago, there was this brother. He was having this great Holy Ghost meeting and he was there. It was a Sunday evening. So he came out, the meeting was over, so it was such a glorious service, I mean, very glorious service. So when the service was over, he came to see me, said, I have something I want to discuss with you. Said, I'll have discussed it before the service, I wanted the service to be over. I said, what's it? Said, you have offended me. So I said, okay. So he said, in fact, listen to this. Said, I could not even concentrate in the service. I was just waiting for the service to be over. So everything that happened in the meeting, he didn't see it. And it was right there. Just like on the day of Pentecost, people were around, but not everyone spoke in tongues. Not everyone had the cloven tongues of fire on them. As of fire, sorry. Not everyone heard the sound. So listen carefully. Our spiritual faculties, when we got born again, have been enabled. Hallelujah. You hear me very well? They have been enabled. You know, and you don't say, that means by the Holy Ghost, we can see, right? Say, I can see.
I can see.
Say that well, come on. Say,
I can see.
By the Holy Ghost.
By the Holy Ghost.
Now what do you mean by I can see? I can see in the Spirit. Anyone like that? Come on. Come on. Say, I can see in the Spirit. I can hear in the Spirit. I can speak in the Spirit. Now what else? I can feel. You know, if you go out and it's very hot. Well, it's been very hot. If you go out and it's very hot. I remember one time I traveled. And I asked someone to help me get a jacket to wear. The person hadn't traveled before. And went to get me a jacket. So I didn't check the jacket I was given. So when I got out of the plane, I wore the jacket. And myself and the jacket were feeling cold. In fact, the jacket needed me to cover it to not feel cold, okay? So you feel hot. See, I'm feeling very hot, very hot. That means you have a sensory perception to feel because you are human. Now also supernaturally, we can feel. Hallelujah. Do you hear me? We can feel. We can. And in the Holy Ghost meeting, all those faculties can work together at the same time. You can see on the day of Pentecost, everything was working. Come on. They could see? Huh? Could they hear? Could they speak? Could they feel? Everything was working. You don't say, well, for now, for the next 1 week, I'll just be using my eyes alone. They go, you're going to have a rough time. So no, I'll just use my mouth alone. I'm going to cover my eyes and my ears. Okay? I'm just going to use my feelings alone. I won't use my eyes. I won't use my ears. I won't use my mouth. No, everything has to work together. Hallelujah. So as you are speaking, you can also be what? As you are hearing, you can also be what? Can you also feel at the same time? Now bring that into your spiritual life. Glory to God. Say, I can see, hear, speak. Come on. I can see, hear, speak, feel at the same time. Glory to God. At the same time. You can't have a dry Christian life. Come on. You can't have a dry Christian life. A man, Ralph Mahoney, once said, if you are only full of the word, he said you will dry up. If you are only full of the spirit, you will blow up. But if you want to grow up, be full of the word and the spirit. Hallelujah. Gonna be full of the word and full of the spirit. So in a Holy Ghost meeting, like camp meeting and this meeting, amen, we'll turn it over to the Holy Ghost. And when we turn it over to the Holy Ghost, expect things you did not plan. Told you? I went for a meeting. My friend called the meeting. They said, oh yeah, come on. Say, let's just come and pray together. And I went. And we went to pray. Grey Hall. And we're praying. And then he laid hands on me. No, first thing was that I used to use the thick glasses. Couldn't see just anything just like this. I won't see it. So he said, no, from today you stop using the glasses. He was my friend. And I'm going to talk about that shortly. Imagine if I was having an argument with him before the meeting. I'm sure the glasses will still be here now. Imagine if I felt, what's wrong with him? Huh? He's a Chelsea fan. You know, I try to walk in love on that one. You know, I would have missed something. He just said, come. And he removed the glasses. Then he said, now from today, you begin to see in the spirit afresh. I didn't plan it. I'm sure he didn't plan it. Because it was a meeting he was holding. He didn't invite me. I just went. Then he laid hands on me. Unplanned. And I went, phew. Under the power of God. And I'm there hours. They had to take me. Hours. And it's so real to me. Imagine someone telling me, God doesn't give people visions again. You know, no one can take your experience from you. What in the world are you saying? Who do you think you're talking to? Oh, no, those days. No. These are the days. Hallelujah. No, these are the days. Praise God. Amen. All our faculties are working. All our faculties are working. Our sense of sight. Hearing. Speaking. Feeling. All working. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, this week as you go on evangelism, everything's going to work together. Everything's going to work together. Amen. Thanks be unto God. Hallelujah. So why do we have such meetings? It's to enhance those capacities to enhance. I said in the first service, I said, there are things that will happen to you. It will take years to see it. Yeah. It takes years. I'll share the story again. It's good to share. I taught my ministry. I've been in the ministry for a few days. But the year I'm talking about here is 30 years ago. And I've been in the ministry way before then. And I thought my ministry was just to do evangelism. I said I was an evangelist. I used to tell people, I cannot teach. In fact, I say it again, I told the first service. Every time you give me a book like, this is the Bible called Dick's Bible, that had commentaries, concordance, and stuff like that, and the Greek and Hebrew. I said, what's this? I just didn't like it. Not that I didn't like reading, it was just, I don't want to use the wrong word, but almost sounded repulsive to me. You know, I just didn't want it. They gave me E.W. Kenyon's books, and I looked at it, and I said, I don't understand this. This is not good. It's not sweet. Abandon it. So I was going for a series of meetings every Tuesday, teaching on the ministry gifts. Anybody there? Every Tuesday, so I'll go from Lagos there to listen to the teaching. So they did apostle, prophet, evangelist. I looked for that evangelist. So I said, yeah, let me take that one. So I really enjoyed the evangelism. So the next week was teacher. I was first thinking, should I go? Okay, I'll go. At least let me learn it for those of them who can teach. So I can tell them. Not that I didn't want to teach alone. I never believed I could. So I was in the service. And then the man of God explained the ministry of teaching. And I was saying, wow, this is good. I mean, those who are called to do this, my God, they really have some job to do. So he now called, said, if you believe God has called you to the office of teaching, just come out. Of course, I didn't go. I sat there. It was the third row. I just sat there. I was praying for those people that were called. You know, I didn't believe I could. Then he stopped and said, you in the black shirt. It was a black silk shirt. In fact, silk shirt with prints of fish on it. I remember it very well. And a black pair of trousers. He said, you, third row. I usually don't sit beyond the third row. Because the first row is for leaders and second row. So be sure that I'm coming to church early. So he said, come. And I came forward. Then he laid hands on me. So from today, what is known in my word as a gift of teaching begins to work in your life. You know what? Supernatural. The desire to study just came. Hands can be laid on you. And a fresh desire will come. Supernatural. The desire to, it was just a thirst. It just came from nowhere. Boom! I knew where it came from. It's not nowhere. It's from the Holy Ghost. Came, boom! Then the same things I didn't want to read and study, I went to get them. In fact, that year, before the January of 95, actually, that year, I think it was the old December, I got the same E.W. Kenyon, all his books, and read everything. I consumed everything. The only one I didn't read in December was Kenyon's Living Poems, because I didn't get it. Every other one, by January, February, I was looking for his newsletters. A few months before, I didn't want to read it. I didn't really like it. But when hands were laid on me, and I was in the right place, at the right time, in the right atmosphere, praise the Lord. I'm here now almost 30 years. I guess I'm doing what I was laid hands on for, right? Have I been doing it? It was supernatural. There's a place for study, don't forget. But you see, it's not just study. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul said, now, he said, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he was seen of the 12 and Peter. Then he said he's seen of the apostles, including James. Seen of 400 at once, said, of which some alive today. Said, of last of all, he was seen of me, who was one born out of due time. He said, I am not even meet to be called an apostle. Pause. He said, but I am what I am. By what? By the grace of God. The grace of God means what God gave freely. And the atmospheres of the Spirit is the atmosphere of the grace of God. So you can contact something in an atmosphere. I went for a prayer meeting. Before then, I could pray. I still can pray. But it had limits to my prayer life. Just being there. Listen carefully. It was an intercessors congress. A young Corey, there in Lorraine. And I just was there. I didn't know what had happened. So I traveled back to Lagos. We're done on a Sunday. And I told the brethren that I was coming back on Sunday. Because we had the ministry then. Same year. And I asked them to wait. So they stayed and waited for me at the Uriwu College. And then they waited. It was about evening. No, I returned on a Monday, not a Sunday. So they waited for me in the evening, about 5:30. I didn't tell them exactly what had happened in the meeting. I just came in and I began to talk to them about prayer. In less than 30 minutes, everybody was on the floor groaning and praying. And we had to stop the meeting around 11 p.m. so that we could go home. What happened? I got something from the meeting that I could also transfer to others. So there are atmospheres. I'm pretty sure some will probably be in that conference. I'm not sure. Maybe it's likely. Some will be in the conference and they'll just leave for home. Maybe they'll take some break. Maybe they'll be half-hearted in the meeting. But you see, there are atmospheres that are contagious. That when you get in there, something happens to you and you can transfer it elsewhere. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. What are Holy Ghost meetings? Holy Ghost meetings are the things we plan to see things that we don't plan. By giving it over to the Holy Ghost. So there'll be things you did not plan for. I went for that prayer meeting. I didn't plan for long hours of prayer. I didn't plan for it. I went for the meeting. I didn't plan that I was going to be able to teach the word of God after that. I didn't plan for it. I didn't orchestrate it. And there will be movings of the Spirit that you might not plan for. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the Bible says that when the temple was being dedicated, the priests were trying to get in. That means they did not know what had happened. They were trying to come in. The Bible says all of them fell down. Hallelujah. Did they plan the building of the temple? Yes. Did they plan to offer sacrifice in the temple? Yes. But the part they didn't plan for was that the glory of God will fill the place. And they couldn't stand on their feet. Sometimes you are in a meeting. You just discover that your feet can't hold themselves together. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. Come on, let me see your hand. Come on, let me see your hand. You just can't. You're just some things happening to you. The Christian walk and the power of the Holy Spirit produces experiences. There are things to see. There are things to hear. There are things to say. And there are things to experience. You didn't hear what I just said? Glory to God. And that's why your attitude is very important. Very, very important. Told you of a preacher who told me something. He said to me that the man of God that he was relating with as his pastor. Now, I knew the man of God. The man of God usually used to laugh at the demonstrations of the Spirit. Not necessarily laugh, but he just used to feel that people were just being unnecessarily wacko and they were just... Yeah. So he's, because I know the man. So this particular minister now called me. I went to see him. He wanted to come and see me. I said, now let me come and see you. So he told me, he said, I just noticed something. That, because I had known him earlier on with the gifts of healings in his ministry and the moving of the Spirit. See, I just noticed that he dwindled. So he said, and I said, well, is the pastor that you chose. Because if you listen to people enough, you will know when it will affect your attitude. You now, just like he's mocking, you begin to suspect. You begin to feel somehow. So he said, what can I do? So I told him, I said, don't worry. I'll get you Reverend Tokes. I learned from him. He said, I'll bring Reverend Tokes to your ministry. I said, when he's done, that's all. Hallelujah. How was I able to know what to do? Because I know God uses what? If you like, go and stay on the mountain and pray. He will have to send a man to you. Uses men. I remember some 21 years ago, your pastors were in the university there. And I just did a meeting for them. Just got to know them. And then they said, sir, we want the power of God. It was actually Pastor Land that first said it. He said, what can we do? They came to me at the guest house. I laughed. I said, go and organize 3 days. I'll come. This is what I told them. I said, I'll give you the Holy Ghost like this. 3 days. Today, God is using them all over the world. Hallelujah. It's the same thing. You must be at the right place. Amen. In the right place. The right things. Don't stay around those who mock the power of God. It will affect you. Don't watch those. Don't read it. Those who are arguing against the power of God. Don't do it. It's going to affect you. That's what's going to happen. Look at Jesus. Jesus in Mark 6, he went to his hometown. No, the thing about Mark 6 is this. If you follow the trajectory, the sequence. In Mark 5, we have the story of the woman with the issue of blood. Then he raised Jairus' daughter. Just about that same time, he goes to his hometown. But you know what? They had put some things on Twitter about him. There are some things on Facebook about him. Some had sent some WhatsApp messages about him. So by the time he got to his hometown, they now say, is this not the Son of Mary? I mean, that was what they said. He just raised the dead. He just healed the sick. So what is this wisdom given unto him? The Bible says he could do no mighty work. He could do no mighty work. In fact, the Bible says he marveled at their unbelief. Can you imagine? Hey! I never seen this kind before. Wonder, 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 wonder. He had not seen that kind of unbelief before. The Bible said he could do no mighty work. Said the prophet of the honor, except among his own household. But you know, he didn't stop there. Don't forget. He now sent his disciples to go and preach. He was not the one that preached. Because they had already sent wrong messages about him. So he sent them to go and preach. So they all went out, not Jesus. And in the same villages, the sick were healed. So it means that you must watch what you are listening to. And see, I tell you this. Always believe miracles until proven otherwise. Is that clear? Always believe miracles. Always believe miracles. Why? God is a God of miracles. Always believe in the move of God. There are some things you probably haven't seen before. Doesn't mean it's the devil. I've seen things happen that if you say it's almost a, I remember 1995, four, we're having dynamics meetings. Brother Bimbo Lawanse was there, Tosin Alaka was there, Shane Wadesoya was there, Kate Ayemere, she's a preacher now, Christ Embassy. They were all there. We're trying to have I done two weeks of teaching. So we said the last day, people was a Friday, people should bring food. But brethren that wanted to eat were more than the brethren that brought food. So only one person brought a cooler of rice, just one. And we're quite much, well, at least, well, about 100, I'm sure. And then one of the brothers, Brother Bimbo, said, look, we can lay hands on this thing. He was so drenched in the move of God, and he said, let's lay hands on it. This thing can go around. It was just a new convert. I didn't even believe that. He released his faith. He said, Baba, that's what it's called. Say, lay hands there. And I laid hands on it. And everybody ate from that coal. I saw it myself. You know, somebody was like, imagine if Mary had come out to say, the Holy Ghost gave me a child. You see articles. The new Christianity. They have ruined Christianity. You know, some people really speak beyond their knowledge. I've seen that before. I've seen meetings where, you know, people practically left a healing line and they had oil coming on their heads and nobody poured it on their heads. Hallelujah. Divers demonstrate. No, what was that? You know, we've been meetings before. World Jesus Conference 1998. Reverend Tokes was there. And you had people were glued to the seats and couldn't get up. You couldn't move in the meetings. That's Bible days. Hallelujah. Bible days. So I'm believing God for more. I am believing God for more. A brother I told you in the first service, he's a member of our church, but not this one, not the Yaba. He wrote me a mail. He said, Pastor, my pastor has been asking us to pray for more for camp meeting. He said, is it more gifts of the Spirit? He said, because we see the gifts of the Spirit. He said, is it more? I said, no. There are things in the Bible you haven't seen before. And you can see them again. Hallelujah. There are things in the Bible I have not seen. And I also want to see them. What about you? So I'm going to remain hungry. I told you, never allow your hunger wane. The way we are in the house of God. When we are hungry and we are full. Being full means to be hungry for more. That's how we are. I'm hungry for the moving of the Holy Ghost. You know, the way the moving of the Holy Ghost is, it will close the gap of years for you. You know, rather than attend one prayer meeting, then you are taught prayer, then you are taught the depths of prayer, then you are taught all those series and series. Something will just happen to you. Just something happened to you. And your prayer life will just become deepened. It's not something you can explain in detail. You just know something dropped on me. Something happened to me. You just know your prayer life is deeper. Atmospheres. But you see, when you get yourself absent from places like that, it will not take you 10 years to get what will have happened in 10 minutes. In 10 minutes. That will happen to you in the name of Jesus. In 10 minutes. In 10 minutes. Distance is closed up. Praise God. Your capacities are enhanced. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Look at the same people who were very shy about Jesus. They were not bold. When the day of Pentecost happened. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. When the day of Pentecost happened. Oh my God. Oh my God. Unexplainable boldness. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Unexplainable boldness. The same Peter that ran for a girl stood up and talked to thousands. Something had happened to him. Something had happened to him. Oh, something had happened to him. Something had happened to him. There are atmospheres like that. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Same Saul of Tarsus, who's going around persecuting Christians and killing them, when the Holy Ghost came. 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 Oh God. Hallelujah. Oh glory. Oh glory. Oh glory. Oh, it's happening around you. Yeah, yeah. Say, all my faculties are working. I can see. I can hear. I can speak. I can feel. At the same time. All at once. All at once. All at once. There is no disabled believer. We are all enabled by the power of the Holy Ghost. You know you should want more. Oh yeah. You should want more. Yay, glory. Glory. This atmosphere is changing you. It's changing you. Glory. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. There are no spectators here. We are all receivers. We are all receivers. Yeah, yeah. Say, I take accuracy. Yeah, take accuracy. Yeah. You see it in your evangelism. You see how bold you will get. And I said in the first service, you see your utterances come like a rushing wind. Like rushing fire. Those who are hearing you will not be able to resist what you're saying. And as you're preaching the gospel, you begin to see. You will mention names. You will mention dates. You will mention cases. Glory to God. Glory to God. Suddenly, there came a sound. Glory. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh yeah? I got that from you.